Let's go John 3:16, and then where we're going? John 13, verses 34 to 35, in what translation? Amplified, but I'm going to do John 3:16 in the King James. Let me get to it. I said, okay, today I'm going to see how it is using my iPad Bible for something, so I figured let's get with it. John 3:16. Oh, I'm like Deacon Gerald. I was in the Amplified, but I want to go to the King James. That's just a touch. King James. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's do 17 today. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Too many times we forget that part, and we're so quick to condemn when we're called to love. We were not called to ever condemn. We're called to love. In John 13, verses 34 to 35 in the Amplified Bible, Jesus said, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, so you too should love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, if you keep on showing love among yourselves. Amen is right. We have to keep on showing love among ourselves. And we can't do that if we're not in unity. Because, see, love brings together. Love doesn't separate. Love brings together. So if you're looking for a point of unity, you have to look for a place of love. Genuine godly love. But turn with me, please, to Psalm 133. Because even though this series is called Unity of the Body, and I don't know how many, I don't sit down and think, oh, well, this is going to be four lessons. I never know. He gives me a subject, and I keep doing it until he says it's finished. And so I know there's always at least one lesson. Okay. But this, the title for this lesson is Unity. Do we really know what it means? Look at your neighbor. Did you get a good night's sleep? Say, if you didn't, thy faith will make thee whole and keep thee awake. Okay. And then say, Pastor just gave us the title. And in case you missed it, it's unity. Do we really know what it means? Okay. Psalm 133, beginning at verse 1, reads, Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And I thought it was interesting on Friday, a brother Emmanuel saw this vision of this. He said it looked like a translucent toothpaste. And the Holy Ghost said that was ointment because we were all together in unity. And God was commanding an eternal blessing, life forevermore. And he does that. He'll give someone visual, a vision just so that they can share so folks can understand just what's happening, so you can understand just what you are experiencing. But according to that, the verse we just read, what was the prerequisite for things to be good and pleasant? We had to dwell together how? In unity. See, it didn't say how good and pleasant it is to break off into cliques. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say how good and pleasant it is for everybody to go their own separate way. And it doesn't say how good and pleasant it is to love folks from a distance. Okay. It doesn't say that. It says how good and pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity. And I need to give you this, show you something right now. Deacon Lee, would you come? See, because this is a mistake we made. Just because we're united, this doesn't mean we're in unity. It doesn't mean that. It means we're united. But if we start to take off and he goes that way and I go this way, something's wrong. Something's going to have to give, because even though we are united, we're not in unity. Thank you. That's what's happening in some of our marriages, folks. You're in a marriage, you're united to this other person, but you're not operating in unity, and so the marriage isn't solvent. And you're trying to figure out, well, what's wrong? Yeah, I love this person. Yes, you do, but you're not in unity. You're not on the same page. You're not thinking the same thoughts. You don't have the same common purpose. And we have to understand that difference. We think just because we're together, we're in unity. You know, people say we want to put up a united front. No, you want to put up a unified front. So you can put up a united front. You can have all your folks and they can just be standing there. Then someone comes along that seems bigger and badder, and you look and half the folks are gone. You know, I always come up with these analogy things from movies. And I like, you know, I used to like the old dinosaur movies, like The Beast from 20,000 Fathoms and those. You know, where it was just corny acting and none of these ridiculous special effects. Okay. But in one of Jurassic Park movies, they come across a T-Rex. And the guy says, "Don't anybody move." And the T-Rex growls and he looks, everybody's gone. Okay. See, they were all in unity at first. The minute that thing opened their mouth, opened its mouth, folks left. And he said, well, I better get in unity with them and leave too. Okay. So it doesn't matter that you're united. If there's no unity there, you're not going to have any strength. There's not going to be any blessing, life forevermore, because we're not in unity. I mean, that I found out that psalm, it gives us a cause and a solution. It tells us why things are not good and pleasant. We're not in unity. Why is there unrest in this world? There is no unity. Especially every 4 years during this time, it's even more unrest than normal, because folks have very, very strong opinions and there's no unity. And no one wants unity. Everyone wants their way. See, there's a difference. And they want everyone to get in step with their way, and they're not concerned about unity. But God is. Amen. God is concerned about the unity of this nation. He's concerned about it. That's why he put his church here. That's why he said, if my people who are called by my name shall do what? Humble themselves. So that means God expects his people to get to the place of unity as a body and realize we need to humble ourselves and we need to pray and we need to seek God's face and not our own individual agendas. Because when we do that, we get an eternal blessing. I will forgive their sins and I will heal their lands. So if, as long as his people stay in unity, whatever land his people are dwelling in, he will heal. Amen. He will heal. Whatever job his people are employed will prosper. Because his people that he placed there are in unity and not just united. And you can't, I am convinced, I'll say it that way. I am convinced that there isn't an organization that God doesn't have people placed there. I believe that. God will place someone in the NRA. God will place someone in I almost said it wasn't focused on the family. What's the family planning? Planned Parenthood. God will place people there. Why? To humble themselves, to pray and seek his face, so that their sins will be forgiven and God will turn the thoughts of that organization around. But it'll only happen when we as a body get into that place of unity. If we're in unity, we'll go where God tells us to go. And everybody will support. Instead of, God told you to do what? God told you to go where? That don't sound like God to me. I'd never go there. Well, that's why you're not God. Okay. Our position should be glory to God. Okay, let me pray and find out what my part is in this thing. Why? You're part of the body. The whole body has to get along. Doesn't matter. My left leg could be faster than a speeding bullet. If my right leg isn't in agreement with it, it's that my body's in trouble. Okay? Because one will be off in the direction, the other will be lagging behind and become dead weight. That's why God uses the body. The natural body has his example. Can you picture your body? Well, what happens if part of your body says, I want to eat, and your digestive system says, I don't want any food? You get a mess. You get a mess. What happens if all of a sudden your leg decides, you know what? I don't want the joints to work anymore. They've worked enough. And you try and stand up. Your joints won't support you because they're not in agreement with the rest of the body. They're not working in unity with the body. It's amazing. And I'm glad I learned it, but I learned it later than I should have, I guess. But, you know, the doctors, they'll say, well, you don't need a gallbladder. We could take it out. Now, wait a minute. God designed this body, and he put it in. And I don't think he put it in just to give a surgeon experience. Okay. He put it in. I found out some things after I let them take mine out. Because it's not there. Yes, they can take the gallbladder out of my body. But you know what they can't do? Reprogram my brain to say you no longer have a gallbladder. They can't do that. So they took my gallbladder out, yet I was still having gallbladder attacks. You're having a gallbladder attack. Like, that's impossible. Why do you say that? I don't have a gallbladder. Yeah, but your brain doesn't know that. So it's still trying to do what it would do. And my body was not working properly because it didn't have a gallbladder. So there are different supplements that I have to take now because I let them take out my gallbladder. And my body can't no longer work in unity because there's a part missing. It's missing. Well, the body of Christ is not having the impact it was designed to have on this world is because parts are missing. And it's not that they're not there. They're not in unity. So it's like they're not there. And so the body can't move. It's almost like trying to drive a car with three wheels on it. I mean, you'll eventually get somewhere, but you'll do a lot of damage along the way. And you'll wear out parts that were designed to last. You'll wear them out because something is not there. It's not operating in unity. Even driving the stick, how many of you used to drive a stick shift? I still drive a stick shift. You know, it has to be unity between the clutch and the accelerator, or you wind up replacing that clutch every 3 months. You burn that sucker out But you need to know there has to be that coordination in place. Well, that's the way it's supposed to function with the body of Christ. There are things that should be happening. There's interactions that should happen among the membership, but it's not happening because we're not in unity. Why? Because I don't like the way she looked at me this morning. I walk right past them, and they didn't even speak. Totally negate that you didn't say good morning either. Right? You just see someone's accent, just walk by and just... Pastor walked right past me and didn't say anything to me. Didn't go talk about love. did you ever stop to think that Pastor had something else on his mind and was on a mission, and even though it looked like he looked at you, he didn't see you because he was somewhere else? Rather than just interceding, God, let him be doing your will, we'll take offense and then tell somebody, and that disrupts the unity. Well, how can that disrupt the unity? Because now the person you tell has to make a choice. And they're going to make a choice about you or me. Why is he saying that about our... He should know that Pastor Greg would never do that. What's the matter with him? I rebuke that spirit in Jesus' name. Okay? And now you have something against him. What? That's what the enemy, he just inserts a little discord and leaves the rest to our own imagination. That's what he does, because he can't make us do anything. That's why he said when you're at unity, it's like this ointment. And see, this ointment is supposed to bring joy. Because if you start studying that, when ointment was used, you look at it in Exodus, you look at it in Isaiah 61, and you see it was used in festivals and celebrations, and it was also used to anoint and separate for special purpose. The high priests were anointed with precious oil. I mean, precious, it had that Crisco, precious oil they were anointed with to do God's work. And when we're at that place of unity, it's like we've been anointed with precious oil to do God's work. And God will command the blessing, life. Life forevermore. See, now, I looked at, in looking this up, I don't know how many commentaries I went through. But I just wanted to get a real sense of unity. And from God's eyes, I know what Webster says, but I wanted to see from God's eyes. And when you read the various commentaries, they suggest that oil was a figure of the graces which come from Christ, the head of the church. And because oil was used in festivals, it was considered to be joyous, delightful, and refreshing. Walking in unity should be refreshing. It should be delightful. Unity. Listen to this. I mean, when I read this a couple of weeks ago, I shot straight up. Unity is an indicator that the grace of God is at work. Yeah. Unity is an indicator that the grace of God is at work. You know why? Because it takes God's grace to stay in unity. You need God's grace to put up with what? Whatever. You need God's grace to do that. And when you look and you see a unified body, the grace of God is at work. It's at work. And that body is anointed to do God's work. And any place that body goes will respond to whatever that body says. So how do you know that? Well, didn't Jesus say, where two or three are gathered together in my name? And he said, if any two of you shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done. So unity was required. Unity was required in creation. God didn't say, look, I'm making man. He said, let us make man after our image, in our image, and after our likeness. And next verse didn't say, but the Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want to do that. Say that. Jesus didn't say, now wait a minute. When you make, yes, you're going to make them in our image, but they're going to do this, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do this. Let's rethink this thing, God. No, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And they're like, yes, let's do this. We can do this thing. There had to be unity there. If there were no unity, there'd be no us. We need to think about that. Look at this. The contemporary English Bible says, it is truly wonderful when relatives live together in peace. See, so unity is affiliated with peace. Peace. The New Life Version, God Word Translation, says it's good and pleasant when brothers and sisters live together in harmony. So unity is also living together in harmony. The New Life Version calls it a song of praise. Says, see how good and pleasant it is, how good and pleasing it is for brothers to live together as one. So unity is a oneness. It's a oneness. God sees unity as living in peace, living in harmony, living as one. And when he sees unity, he doesn't command like an ordinary blessing. He commands an eternal blessing. He says, you're going to have this thing forevermore. What thing? Life. Life. What about wealth? If you have life, it covers everything. Because when he's talking about you'll have life forevermore, he's talking about Zoe. He's talking about the God kind of life. And he said, this is what I have. These three chairs, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, this is the Zoe life of God. You can have this forevermore. All it requires, you're in unity. You live together at one. You live in peace. You live in harmony. But if you don't, it becomes disjointed. And we don't want it disjointed. The contemporary English version, they say it's praise. And unity, when we're in unity, we are worshiping God. But we have to understand that unity is not a buzzword. Unity is a characteristic of God's children. It's not just a nice thing to say. When we say we need to walk in unity, we're talking about we need to show the same characteristics as the Godhead. Didn't it say these three are one? Talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He says these three are one. If there's no unity, there's no blessing. If there's division and strife for any reason, there's no unity, there's no blessing. That's why anyone that becomes membership here requires you comply with some things. And, when we renew our membership, and I don't know where it's covered in new members class, but I'm pretty sure it's covered, but you agree to comply with the ordinances established to ensure that the ministry operates in decency and in order. And if you're a member, you said, yes. Because if we ask you that question, you say no, you're not going to be a member. Because you're telling us up front, I'm not going to be in unity with you. And if you want to be in the ministry of helps, or not, if you want to be, if God has called you to be part of the ministries of helps, you are asked a very specific question. Would you be willing to accept and carry out a ministry policy established by the leadership if you didn't understand the policy? And one says, the way I ask it, it's like, even if you don't agree or understand, will you be in unity? And everyone that's in the ministries of help said, yes. They said, yes. They said, will you receive instructions willingly so we can maintain order? And they say, yes. Why are those questions important? It keeps us in a place of unity. At one point, the choice was lock the front doors at 9 a.m. according to the pastor's watch, because if you weren't here at 9 a.m. for church school, you didn't get in. And our instructions were very specific. Lock the door, walk away. Now, we're deacons. I have to lock the, I'm at the door. And I'm looking, and it's 2 minutes to nine. It's 1 minute to nine. I see a car come flying up. Stop at the curb. One of our senior citizens gets out. It's now 45 seconds to nine. And they are moving as fast as they can. But you know how it, on the front apron, you know, you're walking and it starts to dip. Well, when it started to dip, it was 10 seconds to nine. And the person got within an arm's reach of the door at nine. I had to, with tears streaming down my face, lock the door, turn, and walk away. Crying, because I didn't want to do it. Here's this one of our senior citizens doing the absolute best that they can. My instructions were lock the door. And you say, come on now, it's only a few seconds. You could have done that, not in Stay in Unity. For me not to do it, I would have been rebellious. Because my instructions were not, you can use discretion. If you think the person is really doing all they can, lock the door. I'd leave the door unlocked and let them in. I didn't have that option. I was given instructions. I said with my mouth, I will agree and carry out the instructions I receive, even if I don't agree with them or understand them. I didn't agree with it, and I didn't understand it, but those were my instructions, and all that was important was I said yes. I had to choose to stay in agreement with the leadership of this ministry who God placed. God placed the pastors here. And this is the edict that they gave. And they said they heard from God. I don't know what, well, I know, I understand more now. God was training the people to let them know every bit of his word is important, and you don't come sashaying in thinking, well, you'll pick up. That's being disrespectful to God. And yeah, it was a tough way to learn the lesson, but guess what? Folks learned. But I would have been in disagreement. I would have caused disunity and disharmony among the leadership had I not locked the door and walked away. So how could you do that? Well, what happens if it's another deacon who doesn't? And then it's like, well, wait a minute. You locked the door. Well, Deacon so-and-so, he doesn't lock the door. It causes, you see the friction that comes from that?
Yes.
You know? So I had to follow the instructions. I had to adopt a lifestyle that caused me to miss some things that in my heart I really wanted to do because I was in leadership here in this ministry. And I don't know why I always saw it like this from day one, and to the point where even the pastors, when we met with them about something, they had to talk about it. Because my position was, if the pastors are not in agreement with this, I represent them. So that means if they're not in agreement with it, I can't do it either. Because if I do it, it's demonstrating I don't agree with my pastors. Yet I represent my pastors. So our daughter got married. The pastors had a position where they didn't dance at weddings. I'm the youth director. I want to dance with my daughter at her wedding. I did. But I didn't. I didn't. Why? Because the pastor's position was that you didn't dance at weddings. I don't know why. When you study, you know, the Israelites, they danced at weddings. I don't know why. But I had to be in unity. Otherwise, I'm a phony. Otherwise, yeah, when I'm here, this is the way it is. That's it. When I'm over here, party. Yeah. And you see that. And then you come to me and you see me telling you, no, you cannot do this. No. No, I have to stay in unity. I didn't know God was preparing me for this office. Well. I didn't know. All I knew was that he had put this in me, that this is what I have to do because I no longer represent me. Well, guess what? As a pastor, I don't represent me. I represent God's word, God's heart for all of you. That's what I represent. That's what Pastor Red represents. That's what Pastor Sarah represents. God's heart for you. Can't afford to be in disunity for the three of us or with what God said. Can't afford to. And God was instilling that in me years before he placed me in office. And that's what he's doing with all of you. He's getting you ready because he's going to place you in positions of great influence, but you have to demonstrate that there is this unity, there's this oneness, there's this harmony with him, and if we have that harmony with him, we'll have the same harmony one with another. We'll have to. How many of you heard the term collateral damage? Okay, I was talking with someone about that this morning. See, when there's disharmony, there's collateral damage. You say, well, how can that be? Well, when you choose to act out of godly character for whatever reason, you don't know who sees it or hears it. You don't know who you have negatively affected. Now, you may go and apologize to the person that you went off on. You know, if I just got mad and just blasted you, Mabel, I apologize. Will you please forgive me? And Mabel will forgive me. But Gertrude saw it. Jackie heard it. You observed it. What you don't observe is my apologizing to her. What are you thinking now when you see me? I mean, you need to understand that. You need to understand that. Yes, we're quick to forgive, but you need to understand that there could be collateral damage that you are not aware of. And you don't know. Just conversations that you have when you're talking about people. There can be collateral damage there. What? Because you don't know. You don't know who's hearing. You don't know those things. I mean, one of the things that Deacon Phillips and I, you know, we laugh about it. It's not a point of contention at all. But I really grabbed hold of when Pastor Clinton and when Pastor Sarah said you open the door of the car and you let your wife out. Or, you know, if it's your fiance, you open the door. You're a gentleman. And she said one time I was listening to this tape on a family life seminar that they did. And one of the first times she and Pastor Clinton went out on a date, they pulled up because they're taking the subway somewhere. He pulled up and parked. Pastor Clinton got out of the car, and he was halfway to the subway, and he realized Pastor Sarah wasn't with him. He went back to the car. She was just sitting in the car. You know what happened? I'm waiting for you to open the door. So he opened the door to the car, and they got out, and they're walking, and they get to the subway. And they get to the subway, and he just goes down the subway stairs, and he looks. She's not with him. She's still at the top of the subway. He's like, what? He said, no, you're supposed to walk down in front of me with your arm there. So, in case I stump, you're there to keep me from falling. Now, how many of you know Pastor Clinton was a quick learner? Okay? So when he came, so now they're coming out of the subway station, and they get to the stairs, and he's waiting. And then he said, okay, well, that's what I'm told him. So he goes, and she still, I'm in front of you. No, I don't fall forward going up the stairs. I fall backward. So no, now you need to be behind me. He's like, okay, in front up and in back down. And it's like, oh, this is too much, But they worked it out and they got in unity. So I learned this from them. And so it's like, we'll get home. I open the door and she's like, I don't want you to do it. I said, well, first of all, I don't know who's going to see me. and they may not know that you don't require this of me. I said, well, I don't want you to do it just because people will see. I said, no, I want to do this. I'm like, please let me do this. And folks have stopped in parking lots. They stop like, oh my God, did you just open the door for her? Yes. I didn't know people do that. Yeah, we do that all the time. There are gentlemen around. I get manicures. And someone said this, well, why do you start getting manicures? Well, first of all, my nails look better manicured than not. I said, but also, I want all the men in the congregation to know that you can be well-groomed. There's nothing effeminate about having manicures. Now, don't come with all those nail designs on there. We're going to have a talk. Okay? All right. I'm going to tell you that right now. Okay. But there's nothing wrong with being well-groomed. Okay? I don't want to lay hands on anyone and you have claw prints. Okay. But why am I sharing this? I don't know. No, yes, I do. Is that, I had to get in unity with the example that Pastor Clinton displayed. The standard he displayed for men. I had to get in unity with that because he was showing God's heart for me, to me, by action. And that's what God is saying to it. We have to get in unity because the Bible says every joint supplieth. But if we're not in unity, that joint could be supplying, but you're not there to get your supply. I can't stress enough how important it is and what it means to be in unity. It means we are moving as one, period. And that's why there absolutely should not be different political affiliations among God's people. Because how many different Holy Ghosts are there? Okay. How many Jesus Christ are there? How many God the Father are there? Is there? One. So why would he say, you vote Republican, you vote Democrat, you vote conservative, I don't want you to vote for anybody because really there's nobody in this election worth voting for. All that does is that causes confusion. It causes confusion. But if we're really in unity, we'll hear the same thing. We'll all hear the same thing. And we'll do the same action because we're one. If God sends me to Nebraska, my legs are not going to California. They're going with me to Nebraska. And they have to be in agreement. Otherwise, a trip to Nebraska will be very uncomfortable and will not be as productive. But if the whole body is in agreement, it's smooth sailing. And God expects us to get to that place of agreement. Look at Deuteronomy 22, verse 10. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. And then I'm going to show you some things in Genesis 11. Deuteronomy 22, verse 10, out of the Good News Bible, says, do not hitch an ox and a donkey together for plowing. It says, do not hitch an ox and a donkey together for plowing. Why? One wants to work, one wants to sit down. Okay. You have them plowed together. Can you imagine? I mean, the ox probably get mad and start kicking a donkey. I mean, but can you, what would get accomplished? Ox is trying to move its way and the donkey's just sitting there. And they are yoked together. Okay. Folks, we have to see ourselves as being yoked together. Amen. To understand how important it is for us to operate in unity, for us to operate in peace, for us to operate in harmony, for us to operate together as one. See, an ox and a donkey are not like-minded. And if you're not like-minded, there's no way you can reach a place of unity. You're about two different things. So how can we be the body of Christ? How can Jesus, how can God be our Father and we not be like-minded? How can we be made in the image and likeness of God and not be like-minded? I can tell you how. We pay more attention to the flesh than we do for the spirit. Okay? 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, New Century Version. And again, the only reason we use different translations is because I read every translation I could find about every scripture I ever present. And I go with the one the Holy Ghost says, no, share this one. And usually that's the one that's more easily understood, because everybody doesn't speak King James. All right? Verse 14, you are not the same as those who do not believe. Right? You are not the same as those who do not believe. So do not join yourselves to them. Good and bad do not belong together. Light and darkness cannot share together. So because we are not the same, why are we uniting? Why are we becoming unity with things that are not of our Father? Why are we becoming one with things that are not authorized by our Father? We have to think about that. Just because it seems like it's good cause. Did God say do it? Well, I didn't think I had to ask him about that. Why not? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. So you need to check with the one that brought you, that bought you. And find out what he wants. And then do that. Because if you're joined, you'll be united. But your beliefs will conflict. Then what are you going to do? I left a position at an alarm company. I left. Because the person wanted me to lie to customers. He said, no, you're not lying. You're just making people think they're getting a good deal. I said, that's lying. And I'm not lying. Then he pulled out his big gun. He showed me the commission check of the person that they wanted me to replace, because according to him, that person was a knucklehead and wasn't doing things the right way. And he said, with him doing things the way he's doing, look at what he's making. You'll triple that just because of how you operate. I said, you can't write a number big enough to cause me to disobey God and swindle the people. Amen. As a matter of fact, here's my resignation. That's what I did. And this is someone that's been very good to us. Very good. But hey, yo, just because you gave me a car to drive, and just because you were there and God used you to be a blessing to us when we had a time of need, does not mean I'm selling out to God just so I can keep getting from you. You're not my source.
Yes, yes.
You're not my source. I'm not getting in unity with this thing because it's wrong. And if this is what I'm required to do, I'm the wrong guy. So I resign. So what are you going to do? Something else. That was my attitude. Something else. I said, I'll stay till this period of time so you can find somebody to retrain them. So I'll train them. I'll tell them everything that I know. But I'm done. Period. That's what God is talking about when he's saying unity. His whole body should have that mindset concerning him. If it's not about him, we have no place in it. And we're not going to join with it. Because it's light and darkness. And since we all, I believe all of us, have received Jesus Christ as Savior, we're all light. So why are we repelling one another? Because what someone said or did or intimated, or because they had a party and they didn't invite you, or you saw them sitting down at the restaurant with someone and they never asked you to go out to dinner and you've known them longer. All this other dumb stuff that we use, that we allow the enemy to insert just to cause division. Just to cause division. These terms, you know, everybody knows this is the way I am. Change. Change. Because the Bible says you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. So the way you were before Christ, you know, how would you like it if I acted like Foots? And those of you that know me, that's what they used to call me before I got saved. Foots was an entirely different person. You, just as nice and sweet as you think I am, Foots was opposite to the 10th power. Okay. Just to give you an idea. So you do something wrong, I let Foots come out, I stomp a mud hole in you, and I say, but you're forgiven. And I walk on about my business. Okay. Because I'm so holy now. No, you don't expect to see any indication of that old person. Because I've been changed. So if you find yourself flipping back and forth, you have to ask yourself, what is it about your old self that you want to stay connected with? Maybe there's some hurts that are there that you haven't let go. That's affecting your fellowship. That's affecting your being able to be in unity with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe someone has hurt you. Maybe someone has wronged you. Maybe you have an issue trusting people. Whatever it is, your Father God will take care of it if you would just humble yourself and be honest with him. It will eliminate the collateral damage that you're causing unknowingly. And it will stop negatively affecting the performance of the mission of this church. Remember, God said, I will make this place greater than the church in Seoul, Korea, if you let me. If we're not operating in unity, we're not letting him. He can't fulfill that blessing. He needs us all at the place of unity. Genesis 11. I think I'll get through this quickly. I hope I can get through it quickly. I don't think so. Well, begin at verse 11. It says, the whole earth was of one language and one speech. The whole earth. Genesis 11. Verse 11. Verse 1. Yes. I apologize. When I cut and pasted, I kept the 11 from Genesis 11. So it looked like it was verse 11, but I'm looking, it's like 11, and then it says 2, 3, 4, 5. So Genesis 11, verse 1. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Right? And drop down to verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. Now, because of that, they decided to build this city, and the city was going to have a tower. And where was the tower going to reach? Yeah, our sister Denise touched on this morning. Now, you need to think about it. Every single person had the same mindset. Every single person said, we're going to build this tower to heaven. They weren't even concerned with how they were going to handle breaking through the atmosphere and through outer space. They didn't even care how high the tower was going to have to be. They said, we're going to build a tower to reach the heavens. And God said, behold, the people is one, and they have one language. He said, verse 7, let us go down there, confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. See, the minute you stop saying the same thing, you'll no longer understand what your brother or sister in Christ is doing or saying, and unity will leave. When God changed their language, they could no longer understand. What happens when someone's telling you something you don't understand? Confusion comes. Frustration comes. What usually follows frustration? Anger comes. And then what comes after anger? Fighting, and then separation. All right. I mean, that's what happens. And what happens to your initial goal? It gets lost. And you're no longer in unity. Why? Just because you're no longer saying the same thing. You're no longer understanding what one another is doing. And guys, this is not a problem. This isn't of me. We don't want them building a tower up here. Because God said, because they're one, there isn't anything that's impossible. They would have accomplished it. They would have built a tower to the heavens. Why can I say that? Because God said nothing will be impossible for them because they are one. So whatever they would have had to figure out to get through the atmosphere and build in the vastness of space and find heaven, God is saying they would have found heaven if they stayed at one. Well, guess what, folks? When we stay at one, we'll find heaven on earth. But we'll have to be in unity in order to do that, and we'll have to keep saying what God says as a corporate body. Because when you're not unified, when you're not in unity, you have no desire to work things out. It's like later for you, and you go on about your own way and go about doing your own thing. When you've lost your unity, you're powerless. You're hanging out there by yourself. See, It's unity isn't just a physical connection, folks. It's a corporate thought. It's a mindset. It's a common goal that everyone adopts. Everyone. If one person in the group doesn't adopt it, there's no unity. It's not enough that 97% of the people, just like Ivory soap. How many of you think Ivory soap is pure? No, it's not. It's 99.99449499, whatever. But it's not 100% pure. So it's not pure. Who cares if it floats? It's not pure. Okay. And it's the same way with, who cares? Fine, you have 2,000 members. You're not doing anything because only 1,999 of them are in unity. So that one person upsets the apple cart. There's no unity. There's no eternal blessing. There's no life forevermore. It has to be everybody. The whole body has to be in unity. Philippians 2. I may just unhook it. There's so much more. Okay. All right, Lord. Okay. He said I had to tell you this. Unity is the basis for everything in the solar system. It all has to operate in unity. If one planet or one moon decided to change its path 1/1,000,000th of an inch, there'd be calamity. Pastor Clinton said, whatever the speed is, you know, those of you who are scientists, you can help me, I don't remember how fast the Earth rotates. But if it slowed down a nanosecond, it would affect gravity, and we'd go flying off the planet. It has to stay in unity, moving at the same speed and at the same place. What's the chemical, I guess it's called chemical, on the periodic table of elements, what's water? All right. What would happen if it said, you know something? I'm oxygen. Why can't I have a 2 also? And say, I'm going to change. It's not going to be H2O2. Now you have peroxide. Not the same as having water. Okay? Not the same. It changes. But in order for us to have water, hydrogen and oxygen have to be in unity. In order for us to breathe, what's the formula for oxygen? What is it? CO2. O2, rather. O2. You don't want any C in there. But if that's not in unity, we can't breathe. God made this planet to function in unity. Period. And he expects us to follow his lead with that. One way, and I'm going to have to end here because of the time. I got 6 more pages. So we'll have to get that on Wednesday. But let's go to Philippians 2, and I'll end here. Philippians 2, I'm going to share verses 1 to 8, but I'm going to share them out of the Amplified Bible. Apostle Paul wrote, "So by whatever appeal to you there is in our, so by whatever appeal to you there is in our mutual dwelling in Christ, by whatever strengthening and consoling and encouraging our relationship in him affords, by whatever persuasive incentive there is in love, by whatever participation in the Holy Spirit we share, and by whatever depth of affection and compassionate sympathy, fill up and complete my joy by living in harmony and being of the same mind and one in purpose, having the same love, having the same love being, let me read this again. I'm getting ahead of myself. Calm down, Pastor Greg. Because I get excited and I start, okay. Fill up and complete my joy by living in harmony and being in the same mind and one in purpose, having the same love, being in full accord and of one harmonious mind and intention. Do nothing from factional motives through consciousness, strife, selfishness, or for unworthy ends, or prompted by conceit and empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, each one regard the others as better than and superior to himself, thinking more highly of one another than you do yourselves. Let each of you esteem and look upon and be concerned for not merely his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Key statement coming next. Let this same mind and purpose, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It says, let him be your example in humility. Who, although being essentially one with God in the form of God, possessing the fullness and the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity. See, that's what I had to do when I saw that person coming to the door. I had to strip myself of everything that I thought made me, and get in unity with the instructions I received from my pastors. Stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, slave, and that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death on the cross. That's what it's going to take for us to operate in unity. We have to go to the extreme measure of dying to self and letting the life of Christ dwell in us richly. Then we'll start to become one. Then we'll start to become one. And I have to pull away. And we'll pick up on Wednesday where I'll show you where unity is a source of great power. Great power. Folks, we're going to get this thing right. We're going to get this thing right. We're going to very aggressively, hear me clearly, we're going to very aggressively root out, root up, uncover any sources of strife and contention and disharmony, and do whatever's necessary to bring us all to that place of absolute unity. And that doesn't mean we're going to find sources and root them up and throw them out like yesterday's garbage. No, we're going to pour and keep pouring the oil in, keep pouring the oil in until that situation is changed. We're going to come out on Friday night and bombard through our, we learned about these power channels that we all have. We're going to plug in and let the power from heaven flow out, and it's going to change anything that's not of God. It's going to change it, and we will be in unity. We will be. Every word that God has spoken about Redeeming Love Christian Center will come to pass. Will come to pass, and it will come in God's time frame. There's only one question. And I said this to you before. There's only one question. Will it be able to work through you? Because if it's not, he'll replace you. He'll replace me. He'll replace whomever is the obstruction to his plan for this place who's not willing to change. We're going to have to change some attitudes, some opinions, some thoughts, some relationships. We're going to have to change our words. We're going to have a complete change of heart so that nothing becomes more important than the brethren dwelling together in unity. Father, we thank you and we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for making it clear to us what unity means to you. Because your definition is really the only one that counts. Doesn't matter what man thinks. Doesn't matter what we even think individually. It's what you have decided. This is what unity is. That's what we adopt. And that's what we're striving for. Father, the Holy Ghost's job is to guide us into all truth. We expect, because we are your children, we're called by your name, we expect the Holy Ghost to show us the things, even though it may not be pleasing to our eyes, but to show us our part in establishing and maintaining unity of this body. And whatever it is that's not in line, we thank you for your grace so that we can change it and make it right. We love you, Father. We love this church that you have provided for us. We love each and every member here. We love every first-time guest, second-time guest, anybody that comes through the door. We love them. And we want them to be a part of what you're doing here through us. Show us how to do it right, so that you get the glory and there's no collateral damage. And we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.